You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Make some
noise. Hey, real quick, I just want to let you know that we're about to start the show, but I want to apologize for how bad the audio is on Christian's microphone. We tried everything we can do to fix it. It sounds not so good, but it's mostly in the beginning, and then it kind of cools out a little bit throughout the show. If it's really, really bad, we want to apologize, but please listen to the show. It's a lot of fun. You already downloaded it. You already hit play. What are you going to do now? You're not going to listen to it? Come on, get out of here.
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yo.
Come on.
Look at this. This is some. We do midnight Cooligans, we do morning Cooligans, and now it's late afternoon Cooligans.
Dude, it's Cooligans all day, every day.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Yes, this is now our second episode of our two Cooligans a week, system.
It's almost too much Cooligans. No, there's no such thing.
Are we saturating the market with too many Cooligans?
Never. I mean, you know what it is? It's the supply and demand. There's so little supply, fraud is demand.
That's right, man. We got that. This is that crack rock on these streets. All right.
The fiends is asking for it.
Okay. And we're just delivering the market what they're demanding. All right.
We're giving it to them. No, we're not bad people. We're giving it to them, and they're just sucking it up through their absorbentes.
Exactly. All right. If we create a couple addicts here and there, that ain't our problem. All right. We didn't invent the addiction. We're just selling the drug. That's all.
That's it, baby. We just giving them that good.
Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros, and together, what are we?
Oh, you know what we are. We're the goddamn Cooligans.
We're
your favorite stand-up comedians that host a soccer podcast. And it's easily, by far. I mean, I don't even know if anyone's even close at this point, but we're easily the funniest soccer podcast that you have ever listened to.
Yo, that's bar none. But we're not just that. We are that, but we're not just that. We also happen to be the damn gulliest soccer podcast
in the whole world. And you become a more gully person. You are a gullier person by listening to this show. So so thank you for listening. Also, you're welcome for increasing your street cred.
Yeah, your personal gullometers are starting to move up. And the other thing is that you become gully via osmosis.
Yes, I at some point in the future we'll have Alexis explain what osmosis is. That's going to be a fun show.
Those are actually two of my friends. I have a homie named Oz and one named Moses.
That's a good duo, those two guys. I love them.
Oh, they're great guys.
So, look, there's a couple things going on that we'll get to because but in reality, we have to go straight into Seattle and Portland, because that was absolutely insane. So before we get right into that, we have to say again, thank you to the people that make this episode even possible, the Gully Squad, right?
The Gully Squad. This is all because of them. It's not just for them. They're giving to us and allowing us to share with you.
Yeah, so you need to thank them. If you see a Gully Squad member on the street, you need to hug them and kiss them and say thank you for, coercing the Cooligans into making more content for all of us, all right?
You're probably wondering, how do you know when someone's a Gully Squad member? There's a couple different ways you could tell. Maybe they're playing dice.
If they're playing dice, there's a very good chance that they are a Gully Squad member. So if, for those people that want to be a part of the Gully Squad, it's very easy to join. Just go to soccercooligans.com. Hit the Join the Gully Squad button right there on the menu, and there's a bunch of cool rewards and features that come with being a Gully Squad member. So best way to do that, click on that Join the Gully Squad button, and you'll see all the options. You can throw us $5 a month, just to help be a part of the show, contribute into some of the things that we talk about. So let's do the damn thing. Seattle against Portland. Alexis, you were filming a sketch yesterday, correct?
Yeah, I was filming a sketch for Comedy Central. It involves naked people in a buffet, and I was not one of them. Thank you, and you're welcome to society. Sure. Luckily, no one has to see or witness or experience that except for the one person who was foolish enough to say yes to me when I asked her to marry me. But I was there, so I was I guess I can't talk about too much until it comes out, but nevertheless, I was there, and I was in a different room, and I was basically by myself for about an hour, so I thought to myself, hey, that Seattle-Portland game happens to be happening, so why don't I turn that on and watch it from my phone? Thank you, technology. As soon as I turn it on, it is the 67th minute, which is right when Antonella bottles that catch, and Rui Diaz happens to be in the right place at the right time and scores. And I think to myself, well, this must have been an incredible game for the last 67 minutes.
And it was not. You be completely wrong about that, right?
You know how I know you're right? Because I clicked the highlights this morning when I woke up to watch it, and it started at the exact same spot I turned the game on. Yeah, Nothing in the first 67 minutes happened that was highlight worthy?
Yeah, that's basically how it happened. Well, the issue was this game was in the West Coast, right? So, but it had a 10:30 Eastern start time. What, 10:30? That's what it was listed. This is MLS is US Soccer is notorious for this, where at this point, when a game is, if it says that the kickoff time is 10:30 p.m., which is very late on anywhere in the world, we should be given the actual start time, because this game didn't actually kick off till 11 p.m. Eastern. All right, so this is it almost started. You know how I remember hearing Bob Costas talk about this a lot during when baseball was on NBC and the Yankees, remember the Yankees Red Sox series that would go extra innings, and the games would you'd have a walk off homer at like 3:30 in the morning, and part of it is like, oh well, a lot of the kids that were watching the beginning of this game didn't even get a chance to see it, and that's sort of the game start on the East Coast. The game started on at a point where it was too late for kids to even start watching it. You know what I mean? The game probably should have started a little bit sooner. So a lot of people were asleep and didn't see the second half or extra time of one of the greatest games in MLS history. I mean, I think it's up there. I know we already had the, what was the other one? Montreal, Toronto. That was, what, 2 years ago.
That was incredible because we were there.
That second leg, that was just insane. So the game in itself was first half, not much going on. You know, I think Portland came out like pretty defensive, and they knew the strategy. If we get a 0-0 result, we're through. And they did well in the first half defensively. Credit to Seattle for being, even without Chad Marshall, without Roldan, we're still pretty dominant in that first half, especially on the ball. I don't know if it was Portland playing a little softer, or if it was Seattle putting on the pressure. But
do you also think that it might be just, and now having watched Portland throughout a season with Gio Savarese, it seems like Gio doesn't have the exact players he wants, but then again, he comes from the NASL, where, you know, he doesn't just be like, yo, go get me one of these players. He has to sort of do with what he has. Do you think that you think he's playing this defensively? Because he's done this in other games, right? He doesn't just do this when it's like, oh, just bunker down and win. It seems to be his style of just like, yo, stay defensive. We don't want the ball, but when we get it, we're going to hurt you. Do you think he's doing this because that's the style of play he wants, or because these are the players he has? Because it was smart to do it in this game, but there's other times where you're like, come on.
I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem like, look, if Seattle would have scored in that first half, I mean, I think things would have been a little bit different. And they did have a lot of chances. They didn't. There was the one cross, the header from Roman Torres that Rui Diaz just like hit across the goal and missed. There were a lot of opportunities. There were a lot of not great chances created, but a couple. And it seemed like I was confident that Portland would probably hold on because Seattle just couldn't finish chances and they weren't getting great ones. So I thought the game was probably going to end up 0-0. And boy, was I wrong, because once that first goal went in, the floodgates absolutely opened. And this is why the first legs, I'm genuinely surprised that the first leg of this series was as good as it was. We got three goals in that first one, because that's usually not the case, right? It's usually, look, all the other games were like 1-0, right? But the majority of them. And so we're not, I think all of them were 1-0, all the first legs, except for Portland, Seattle. So due to that, you're cautious in the first game, and then you go out guns blazing in the second one, right? And that's exactly what happened here. But it was just wildly entertaining. Every single thing I just couldn't believe was happening. I'm like, oh, once Seattle scored, I'm like, oh, that's it. Portland's done. They haven't even connected 3-4 passes in the game. How the hell are they gonna just turn it on? But something happens when one team scores. They got a sense of comfort of like, all right, we're good. We got the lead. And that kept in those last 30 minutes. That kept flipping back. It was like a hot potato of like losing confidence. Like whoever has the potato is sad at the moment, right? Which is usually how most people feel after eating a bunch of potatoes. So
speak for yourself.
that was very clear. It was just like as soon as somebody scored, that they were like, all right, we're good. We're gonna win this game. And obviously, each team was wrong at the point at each moment. But holy crap. What an entertaining game. One of the most entertaining games I've seen in a very, very long time. And across world soccer, just, you know, I mean, this is Champions League. I remember reminding me of the Champions League final, and like unexpected things happen, which is like you see these, you know, the bicycle kick from Gareth Bale. And then in the semifinal was from Ronaldo. And like we have these just spectacular things that happen, but they're not as like you know, the quality of MLS is you're not going to find many bicycle kicks, but the quality of the excitement is, I would say, even. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. No one is going to sit here and claim that MLS is a higher level or a higher quality of soccer than Premier League or Champions League, right? But fun doesn't always have to have the equivalency of talent, right? So if we may, you know, those teams may be way more, you know, set quality-wise, but that doesn't mean it's more fun to watch. And that's something that you and I've brought up now every time the MLS playoffs have happened. It's that, yeah, okay, maybe we don't have the number one league in the world, but it is undeniable that this is fun.
Without a doubt. And what made it more fun was really, look, I mean, we got bloopers galore, right? We have the Jeff Antonella just bobbling that ball. And then it led to you know, what was the next goal? That was a great goal from Rui Diaz, right? That wasn't an easy goal. Like, just because he dropped the ball, he still had to kind of have a presence of mind and to strike the ball the way he did with a couple of people around him. Not easy. And then
you have to have that poacher's instinct.
Totally. And then, but then the goal, the golazo that, like, it was the poor clearance. I think it was Blanco that was trying to clear the ball, and looked like he set it up for just a gorgeous assist for Rui Diaz to have just a banger of a goal.
I don't even know. There wasn't enough room for Rui Diaz to strike that ball around the players that were in front of him. Rui Diaz, Look, I mean, it took him a minute, but when he got comfortable, the dude got hot. Yo,
yeah.
That dude next season is going to be a problem. There was literally if you look at the video from behind the goal, it looks like just from his ankle down to his toes are exposed beyond the player, just outside the player that was in front of him. And that was all the room he needed for the ball to come off and then kind of curl back around the players that were in front of it. It was just one of the most insane goals. Watching something like that, you're like, no one's stopping that. No one.
It was impressive. And then we had a handball in the box from Sebastian Blanco, who had just previously scored another, amazing goal. And just the game had it all, right? And Jair Marufo, the ref in this game, was, especially in the first, it was a tale of two halves, right? Because the first half, I thought he was incredibly chill with the whistle. Right, he was not calling almost anything on, and there were several actual fouls, and or even some plays that seemed like, it might be good to play advantage here, and where they might have been serious injuries. Like I didn't understand his exact like strategy and how he was reffing that game, because he did let a lot go, but regardless of that, it made the game a bit more entertaining, right? So
of course, but that is one of the complaints people make about MLS, that it's sometimes very physical, or they keep the whistles in their pockets. And from all the memes I saw and the messages going back in the group chat, it seems like he was letting him play.
He was very, very much letting him play. I mean, it almost felt like the last like minute of an NBA game where it would you don't want to see the games end in like a foul and then two free throws, you know what I mean? Like they sort of let a couple extra, they let some physicality go because it's like, oh, this makes for a more entertaining game. But he was doing that in the first 45 minutes. He was just really letting him fly. But I wouldn't put any blame on him towards the result of the game. I thought, he made the game more entertaining, but didn't affect it in any real negative way, because obviously it ended up in penalties. But watching this game, I was like, I don't even know. I must have woken up my neighbors screaming, especially after the Espria goal, where I just couldn't believe. It's not easy for the Timbers to go to CenturyLink Field and just have a game like that. It's so rare for this rivalry to have a game with that many goals in it. It's like, it's not very common. You know, they haven't both been in MLS that long, but it's not something we're used to seeing. Most of the games are like 1-0, 2-1, 2-0. Like they play to not lose because they know how important it is to the fans. And that's not that they don't want to win, but you know what I mean? I mean, they more don't want to lose than they want to win. That's my feeling of like the strategy that they put forth.
It seems to me like these teams don't go out and develop teams or go out and buy players for the league. They do it to beat each other. You know what I mean? They're like, what's Seattle doing? Well, then they got better forwards. We got to get better center backs. Like, it seems like they're always trying to one-up each other, which part of that is that's what makes it a great rivalry. I could tell just from the highlights, the passion at that stadium and us knowing supporters of Seattle who are good friends of ours and supporters of Portland who are good friends of ours. You know, shouts to Corn Dog Squadron, shouts to Cale Parker, shouts to Eric Keating, shout out to Timbers Arbor, shout out to Igor, guys like that and people like that that are sitting there telling you that is the most exciting, that is the most important, that is the most special moment for the season for them is when they play each other. And to have that in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I love about this rivalry, and because it's similar to, look, in world soccer, right, all over the world, the Manchester Derby, the Super Clásico, a Clásico, right? A lot of times the fans of these teams, well, even if they have a bad season, you know, they might say, like when Manchester City won the Premier League last year, you know, but they also, did they lose twice to Manchester United or they drew? I don't know. But Manchester United won the derby that season. So everybody could be like, yo, oh, well, Manchester City, 100 points, won the Prem. But then Manchester United fans are always going to be like, ah, but you didn't beat us that season.
Right,
so,
right. And it's like, always, fine, we didn't win a trophy, but at least we won in the derby. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's something you could really take away from it.
Yeah, and I know going forward, even if Portland does not go on to win MLS Cup, they could be talking trash to each other, you know, between the two teams. But Portland is always going to be like, yeah, we didn't win the cup, but, you know, we knocked you out of the playoffs, right? We're in, you're out, the whole thing, right? So this was a great showcase of that rivalry. What the worst part about it was that everything happened so late. So we know there are definitely a large amount of people that didn't get to see how exciting it actually was live, which is to me the only wrinkle on it. But nevertheless, incredibly, incredibly entertaining.
Well, I mean, it's also a good opportunity to tell people to go. I think on the app, you can still get the condensed matches, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, dude, download the MLS app. Go watch that condensed match. It's 20 minutes, and it's going to start from the 67th minute.
Yeah. So, penalties were pretty intense as well.
Now, wait, hold on. Now, maybe you could explain this to me because the highlights didn't show this. What happened? Because I saw in the group chat, people were saying that the players weren't aware, and then I watched the post game, which MLS put up on Twitter, and it showed that it looks like some of the players were hugging after the 3-2 full time. And
yes.
And it was Zarek Valentin who had to go around going, no, this, what is it? Away goals don't count anymore, right?
Yeah, away goals aren't tiebreakers in extra time. So because it was 4-4 aggregate and they technically scored more away goals, Portland scored more away goals, a lot of the players thought that they went on to win the game, but they were wrong.
Latino players.
It seemed like the main culprit were a lot of the non-American, either mostly Latino players. I noticed. I mean, Sebastian Blanco, just as soon as the final whistle of the second extra time, on his knees celebrating, he's like, thank you, God, I couldn't have done this without the main man in the sky. And then
yeah, round two, thank you so much for getting us the penalties.
Thank you for blessing me with this anxiety-ridden opportunity. it was pretty hilarious. He didn't know. Clearly, he did not know that it was going to go to penalties. My favorite moment was when he hugged Diego Valeri, and he's just embracing him. He's like, thank you, man. We did it together. You are my Argentinian brother. I'm glad to toil and grind with you. And then you see him really give him a strong hug, and then the camera catches him looking over Valeri's shoulder to someone up clearly approaching him, and he's like, what? Like, you can see his face just go from absolute elation to like, yo. He's like looking at his teammates like, yo, why aren't you celebrating? Because you know we work really hard for this. Are you not standing with me as my brother on the Portland Timbers to celebrate this incredible accomplishment? And then Zarek Valentin is over going to explaining. He's like, hey, man, we there's still some game left.
It's like, whatchamacallit? He's like, what? You're not good enough to celebrate with me and my South American brethren? Oh, there's what?
yeah, it was a funny moment, just another one of those fun MLS moments. You know, it sort of reminds me of the what was the one the Cali Clásico with the San Jose mascot when Beckham was arguing with a bunch of the players, and then the mascot is arguing as well, holding up a sign that says like, MLS on ESPN Thursdays or something like that.
Yeah. Next, coming up next, Sports Center on ESPN.
Yeah. It's just one of those lovely, fun, silly moments. But you know what? A lot of these, it's weird. A lot of the players that come here aren't they're not in these scenarios very often. Even if you do make the playoffs every single year, you know, they may not even know. I think. I'm going to say that the Timbers hadn't They've been in penalties. Yeah, they've obviously been in penalties in the playoffs.
Yeah, but, you know, the playoff system here is very different. And it's not just the playoff system. It's, you know, there are, you know, two-leg knockout stage type of bracket competitions in almost every other country, even if it's just for, you know, like, I guess what you would call, like, continental champions, like Champions League and Copa Libertadores. So these guys do get a chance to play in those. But it just, it's that thing about MLS where they just have to say, how does everyone else do it? All right, we'll do it like that, except for this one thing. And
yeah, so
it's always like this weird little remix.
I saw a tweet from Zach Goldman, you've seen him on, he's on our timeline a lot. I'm sure if you
Yeah, Damn Yank.
Soccer. That Damn Yank, at yeah. That Damn Yank. And he, I didn't know about this, but when this happened, he mentioned how the MLS playoffs used to have a best of three series that were based on points. So you could tie in games. So if you won the first two, then you moved on. But if you tied any of the first two, there would be a third game. I never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to a friend of ours, comedian Chris Scopo, who, if you've met, he is basically the human form of a deli in Queens.
With a big old ass. If you ever want to see just the nicest ass on a man or woman, it's Chris Scopo.
It is. Honestly, the dude could never go to jail. It would just be, it would be rough for him.
Yes. I mean, there would be a revolving door going straight into his room.
I mean, and honestly, he'd be getting a lot of cigarettes. You know what I mean? He'd be getting a lot of cartons of cigarettes. So I was talking to him. He's not a soccer fan at all, but he wants to learn more. And he's like, so what is it? And I was explaining it's aggregate. He's like, what does aggregate mean? I go, it's two games. And then they add up the scores. And he goes, what if there's a tie? And I said, whoever scored the most goals away from home, like on the road, they're the ones who pass. And if that's tied, I go, then they go to extra time and penalties. He goes, what are you doing? Why don't you just go best of three? And I said, you know what? It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's it changes the. I mean, we don't need more games, right? That's.
Are you sure about that, though?
It would be more games, and it's just a little too demanding on a season of soccer, right? Because most leagues have what 38 games, and like the Premier League and I think and La Liga have 38, When if you win MLS Cup, you will have played 30. So if you don't make it to the knockout round, you will have played 39. If you win MLS Cup and you don't go to the knockout round, you would have played 39 games. And then it's like with the knockout, if you play, then it's four. It's too much. There's already too many games as it is.
Look, I love penalties. I prefer it the way it is now, but I do kind of wish away goals counted, regardless of whether you went to extra time or not. You know, I get the point, like, if you go to extra time, it's probably going to go to penalties, which is a ratings bonanza. You know, like, I get that. So the league is trying to get it to that, which makes sense. But at the end of the day, I prefer it to be two, but I don't necessarily disagree that a best out of three is a bad idea, especially if you got a bye. Now you have a real advantage. If you got a bye in that first knockout round, boom, you've got an actual advantage. You got rest. You were good. And plus, MLS refuses to get this thing done before the international break. So you're going to get a week break anyway.
But you're asking for... A lot of people, I would say more people are on the side of making the semifinal and the Eastern Conference and Western Conference final one game, make them all knockout games as opposed to two legs. I think more people are on that side than on the side of let's add a third game in case we need one. We had an incredibly entertaining game with the format that we had.
Could you imagine another one?
imagine. Yeah, I'm sure Seattle Sounders fans would want another one, but no, that's not that.
Right now, Cale Parker's like, listen to Alexis. He's got some good ideas.
So, look, we love you, Sounders friends. I know it's hard, and, you know, this weekend, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people. You know, it might be Atlanta United fans. It might be NYCFC fans. Who knows what's going to happen? But we're all here to comfort each other, because clearly there is only one team that is going to, you know, that is able to lift the trophy. But again, like, the thing that should give you some solace is that it's single entity. So whoever wins, we all win.
Yeah, technically, we're all making money. And also, there's only one team that wins every year, and that's Gully Squad. So
exactly. All day straight up. Positive goal differential every single year.
Undefeated, never lost.
The penalties were interesting. Who took them? Lucas Milano, I think, took the first penalty, if I'm not mistaken, which I thought was a bold move. I'm like, I didn't even expect Milano to have that kind of confidence to be like, yo, I know I haven't been here in like 2 years, but I'm first.
I know none of you know who I am, but watch what I'm going to do.
But he scored the first one. The misses, who missed? Will Bruin, I think, missed the first one. We had the first miss from him hitting the post. You can sort of feel, I don't know what it is. It's just sometimes the way they walk up to take to the penalty spot, it's just something, right? And you can see the difference between a Rui Diaz penalty and a Valeri penalty, and then when you have just some of the other players like towards the middle of like the pay grade of these teams, and
get away from them TAM players, you're like, uh-oh.
Valeri just absolutely blasted it. Same with Rui Diaz, but then Bruin and also Ozzy Alonso. I don't know.
Iguano.
Just a soft. Not a confident penalty there, and he sent that tweet apologizing to Sounders fans. He's very much
he's the heart and soul of that team, and you know it broke his heart to miss that shot.
Yeah,
I dropped my ropa vieja on the floor as soon as he missed it. I wasn't even watching the game. I just knew, you know, like that beacon of Cubans. We know.
You dropped it in front of all the naked people you were filming with.
All the naked people.
So the who ends up getting the winning penalty? Dairon, and Dairon gets that.
Whose name I besmirched last on the Wednesday episode, maybe it was previous the previous second episode of the week, where I said, you know, look, the guy can't score, the guy's doing nothing, why is he here? That was all right, but apparently when he comes to the playoffs, my man shows up. He's big game. Don't bother him for anything other than high pressure moments.
Regular season, never heard of it. All right,
nah.
I'm here for playoffs and playoffs exclusively. Oh, you have a league that doesn't have playoffs? Then I will not do well. Do not hire me.
How am I supposed to perform in a league where you don't go into a bracket at the end of the season, my guy? Because that's the only time I wake up. I'm out here hibernating and getting my hair dyed.
Yeah, he had a great game. Yeah, clearly blondes do have more fun. He was incredible. The header that he hit, the pass that he got from Diego Valeri was just one of those balls that looked like, how is the ball? It looked like it had a propeller on it to guide it perfectly to Asprilla's head. Because I just couldn't understand the perfect, absolutely pinpoint glide it took to land. It could only land on Asprilla's head. There was nobody else it could reach. Over towards and behind, I don't know who the right back is, or the left back. But it was just incredible. So, again, the game had all the pageantry and ridiculousness and excitement and crazy calls that we want from any sport.
Remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons where he would pitch the ball in a baseball like cartoon?
No. I only watch the new Bugs Bunny stuff, man. I don't watch that old shit.
You don't want that old shit? Well, maybe they did this in the new one. where he would have like a thing where he could like hit like a dial he can turn on the baseball, like wind it up, and when he threw it, it would go like crazy knuckleball, and the person would try to swing the bat like seven times at it and would miss it. That's kind of what Diego Valeri can do, because it seems like the ball, he trains the ball with his foot instantly to sort of dodge the opposing defenders and go straight to the forehead of a player wearing the same jersey as him.
Yeah, it was unreal. So,
also, don't forget, Dairon Asprilla also with that layoff to Sebastian Blanco.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, the kid's doing it all.
Yeah. It was
summer, Dairon?
It was a bummer. I felt bad for Harry Shipp in that goal, because he just got nutmegged, and then Stephen Fry just couldn't see it. But again, I just couldn't believe that there were so many goals in this game. It never happens in these games. It's just never the case.
It's so wild. I mean, what a wild back and forth. I mean, if you're Seattle, you're pissed you lost this game, because it went to penalties, and you had a chance, and you were down, you had injuries, and yet you still gutted it out in the end, and you got it to pens. And you honestly, if you told me that you have Stephen Fry, who we've seen do Superman-like things, and on the other side, you have a guy who just dropped the ball and couldn't catch it during this game, and that led to the other team's first goal, I'd guarantee you, 9 out of 10, you'd pick Stephen Fry. And, you know, for someone like Antonella to be able to come back from that mid-game, to be able to gain that confidence back, that's a credit to his captain, that's a credit to him, and that's a credit to his back line being like, because I remember when he was sort of feeling bad for himself, I forget who it was, but it was one of the center backs walked up to him, was like, you could see him start to be like, hey, snap out of it, we need you in this game, now's not the time to feel bad for yourself, you know what I mean? The fact that he was able to come back and just put himself in position to at least get them to a penalty shootout. Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was incredible. So, let's talk about some other things real quick, because there were a couple of things that we missed this week that we wanted to talk about. But there was I saw a tweet from Charles Boehm, you know, homie, right? Writes for MLSsoccer.com, covers the league, and you know, also we went to In-N-Out Burger together, so it's you know, we got to make sure we give him a shout out.
Hold on a second. We went to In-N-Out Burger at like 2 a.m. with him. So
right. Yeah,
I mean, we're practically family now.
Sometimes people think that like MLS and the people who cover it can't get litty at 2-3 a.m. You know, in Dallas, but no, that's not the case. Okay,
you just don't know the MLS and the people who cover it the way we know MLS and the people who cover it.
All right, the people they're capable of having a good time. Trust me. All right, they can toss a few back and really tell you how they really feel about stuff. So it's pretty fun. So, but Charles Boehm, great dude, and he was he put out a tweet about Orlando City. Referring to, he said there was a player that was I guess they were going to waive this season or not re-sign, and they didn't realize that he had a clause in his contract that said that if he played a certain amount of games, that they would it would trigger his option, so that they would have to re-sign him for another year. And he didn't say who it was. I don't know why specifically he was being coy, but we did learn that it was made public that it was Will Johnson of Orlando City, and he was I don't know the exact number of games, but he played in one extra game that he essentially the team probably didn't want him to play in, and because of that they are forced to re-sign him for another year.
Could you imagine the embarrassment? You bring the dude in for an exit interview, and you're like, hey, this was great, but we're not going to need you. We're not going to pick up your option. And you're like, what are you talking about? You're not going to pick up my option. You got to. And it's to the tune of $450,000 a year. Dog, in MLS? You just... you just fucked up $450,000 of a cap in MLS because you made the dude play one extra game. I mean, the jokes that Atlanta fans make about Orlando. Orlando's had a rough year. You know, we used to talk about how great their fans are, and it's been rough, man. Those last few games barely had anyone in it. But, the one thing I will say is the fans that are there do stick by this team. Yo, this is a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah, it's very, very bad. They
and your coach is wearing hats.
Look, the sun is dangerous to that man. He's trying to stay away from that.
That's kryptonite.
Every opportunity. Yeah. Look, I feel bad for Orlando because of how bad their season was. And it isn't.
Well, you can't feel good for them.
No, but it's not to say that the Orlando had a bad season because Will Johnson was there. It's one of those things where the whole team needs to be gutted, right? They need to kind of start from scratch to see who. It's basically Sasha Kljestan and then I don't know who else.
Dom Dwyer. That's it. Dom Dwyer is probably the only person you really need. Sasha Kljestan, as great as he is.
Chris Money Mueller, their rookie, that was the best.
But he's coming back. He was injured. He's coming back.
He's going to be there.
And by the way, he's training with Eddie Johnson.
Yeah, I did see that. That was cool. We can make fun of them for this blunder. It's just like the team is bad on the field. Then they're clearly also bad in the front office, right? It really shows that it's a lot of these teams are not, they're not run by these masterminds. They're just normal people, right? And there's just some paperwork that was overlooked. Didn't realize, whoever's the VP of player personnel or whatever, whoever handles these books was not aware. There wasn't that communication. Look, they fired Jason Christ. They had a interim manager, and then hired somebody permanently. And so, there's a lot of breakdown in communication with all these things changing that this got overlooked. Maybe the coach didn't realize what was going on. Maybe put him on in the lineup when he wasn't supposed to. Just stuff like that, where it's from top to bottom.
No, but you're forgiving. You can't forgive this because we get. I mean, it's fun because we're watching it kind of like a soap opera. But you forget there's people who are putting a good large chunk of their lives and their livelihoods into supporting this team. This isn't good enough. You don't get a pass because it's funny, or you don't get a pass because, oh, it's a simple human mistake. You don't get that. $450,000 to one player who you had not wanted on your team is a big deal when you had the chance to make sure that didn't happen. There's people who don't make a lot of money that are giving a good chunk of their income, money that could go towards their kids' braces or their kids' education or their future retirement, to stand there every weekend and root for your team. And you just allow this blunder to happen. And almost the worst part is it leaks out. How do you not find a way to save face? There's people who are putting a lot of time and money and effort into rooting for your success, and you're allowing yourself to fail at a comical rate. That's not cool. You don't get a pass. I don't give you the, humans make mistakes. Do better. People are trying really hard to root for you. You need to do better, and if you can't do better, you need to go find people who will do better and get my man a canopy so he's not just running around in them Indiana Jones hats.
Yes, I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just trying to explain what the hell happened. But yes, without a doubt, it's a $450,000 mistake.
Which is, you can't,
that's a bad one.
Yeah, that's a big one, man. You can't minimize that when you consider that they're playing with a cap. I mean, it almost makes sense to pay him more and to give him TAM to knock that number all the way down. That's how bad of a mistake this is. It sits like in that perfect pocket where it's too expensive for a player you're not going to use, but too cheap as a TAM player where you could buy it down. You need to pay him more so you could buy it down, and think of what you've just done. You've just spent more money and more TAM on a player you don't have plans for the future with.
Yeah, Orlando's just like, well, Will, I guess we made a mistake, and now you will be the highest paid player in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, we don't want you here, so we got to make you a DP.
Okay, yo, Giovinco, yeah, you're going to pay more than him. It's just funny how that works out sometimes.
We gotta. I don't know, man. We made you start too many games.
It's funny that just like a clerical error just leads to just a monumental blunder. Where it's just like, yeah, where, you know, kids, you're not getting braces this year. And oh yeah, I understand. You have a terminal disease, but Will Johnson got to get paid. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, Will Johnson, remember when he came in the game that we were losing by four? So homie gets all your Christmas gifts this year.
So that was just insane. The next thing, we'll wrap up with this stuff. A lot of these European leagues are getting out of pocket, all right? There's a lot going on. If you don't know, Der Spiegel put out an article. We talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but we didn't get into any real detail. They put out this article kind of pointing out there was like a football leak, and they pointed out that you know, a lot of the oil money that's in soccer, Man City and PSG specifically, about how they're skirting the financial fair play rules. All right, and
they're trying to skirt out of their current contracts.
So, if you don't know what financial fair play is, it's the simple concept is that teams can't spend more money than they bring in, and it's the only thing in place to help to allow for some parity in soccer and in these leagues. Because again, yeah, if you have a bunch of money, and you're a billion, which most of these teams are owned by billionaires, so they can use their own money to increase the quality of the club, which would be unfair to a team that's lower in the table, because they don't have extra money from other businesses to use to help the club grow. They have to use the money and the profit that they bring in from how the club does, and then they reinvest that in themselves to help the club grow and be better. That's basically the concept. So, but there's a lot of teams like Manchester City that go on, you know, they'll have a transfer, you know, a summer transfer window of like, yeah, we just spent $120 million. Then people are going to ask, well, how do you have enough money to pay all those players and also run your business, run the club and keep the lights on?
And they're like, duh, illegal oil money. Come on now.
Well, it's not even about legal or illegal. If they could totally get their money in a legal way, but they're not allowed to use it to make the club better. They are only allowed to use the money that they make from the club to reinvest that into the club. So that allows for a little bit of fairness. So the issue what this highlighted from Der Spiegel was that Manchester City and PSG, I'm sure there were more other teams as well highlighted, but they cook the books. They do everything they can to make it look like they are actually bringing in money from the club. So that it's like, it's almost like it's money laundering in some weird way, but it's for your soccer team, which is strange. It's like, it's not for this like necessarily nefarious thing. But you are sort of cheating the system or gaming the system a little bit. So one of the examples is like, you know, let's say a jersey sponsor like, let's say Cooligans FC has a jersey sponsor that's probably not worth much money, right? So let's say, so we're, you know, the Cooligans logo, we're on the Bug Eaters on their jerseys, right? So Bug Eaters has the Cooligans logo, and if somebody said like, oh, that's probably worth like $1,000, and like, oh, that would make sense to most people. But if somebody, if you looked at our books and we brought it to our accountant and he was like, oh, your Bug Eater sponsorship is worth $2.8 million, somebody would be like, that seems like the cost is a little overinflated.
Something's wrong with that, because also then we sell that and we want $2.8 million.
So that's kind of what's going on, where things like that, where there's like things are seem to be overinflated. I don't know if you've seen Ozark, but that's money laundering is very much a part of that show, and that's kind of how you do it, right? You have a new business, you got to buy air conditioners. Oh, every air conditioner was $40,000. I don't know. It's just a high quality air conditioner. I like to live in a freezer. Why are you asking me all these questions?
We gonna be cold. In fact, so cold I can't reach over and grab those documents you want to see, Mr. FBI.
So that's kind of what's going on, and they pointed that out. And this is sort of a thing that we know. Like this is corruption in soccer is not a thing that is new to anybody. What's sort of going on here, to me at least, is as the consumer, as the soccer fan, we kind of have to decide what we're okay with or what we want from this. You know, this is similar to the steroid era in baseball, when Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, they're hitting all these home runs. The game, baseball is more entertaining. It's the most popular it's ever been. And then we find out, oh, they're cheating the game. So, but you were still really entertained by what they were doing before. And now there's a sort of sense of hypocrisy when they're not blasting those home runs, every other day. So,
right. So there's that, right. So, and this is the thing that I think that frustrates fans of the game, right? Because you're like, well, look, they're cooking the books, but that leads to better games, right? And better teams. And I want to play with those teams on FIFA, and I want to watch them when they're on TV. And then you're fans of smaller teams that don't have that, and you're looking at yourself and going, well, how are we ever supposed to get there? You know, do we all... The only way to do it is to start cooking the books, right? Which is why I want to present Christian and Alexis, and I put your name first for legal reasons, accounting services, right? It's the gulliest accounting service you'll ever find.
Okay. Yes. Make sure to call our representation, Ishmael Tajiri and Shradi. They'll take care of any issue.
Really good law firm. And we're going to need all three of them.
Look, like you, exactly like you said, like we like these teams. It's fun. It's entertaining watching Real Madrid and Barcelona. Look at these amazing players that are paid so much money get to play together. PSG is one of these, like, oh, let's put together an all-star team. Mbappe and Neymar on the same team is insane, right? Like, from a financial perspective, it's so insane.
The fact that they bought them both in the same transfer window just lets you know. Yeah. That illegal activity is being done. And you know what? What sucks is Mbappe's a, you know, say what you want about Neymar. I don't think he's a bad dude. But Mbappe is a unequivocally, like, just dope guy. He gave all his World Cup money to kids and people who need it. And, you know, he was like, money I got. And he's like, at least it'll be a good opportunity for somebody else. Yeah, people like that aren't made very often. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is just, and this is a child. Dude, when I was 18, if you gave me $180 million, I mean, I know he doesn't make it, but if you gave me millions of dollars, I'd be like, nobody gets it. I don't know anyone in my family, and I only talk to my Maybach and my yacht, and that's it.
Okay, well, I mean, look, I clearly, you know, if you get successful, it's gonna be a problem. A lot of people are not gonna like you anymore. You're just not gonna be the same guy.
Find me some people that like me now, and I will start to apologize to them now.
Yeah, you need to get that list going. So the other thing that Der Spiegel pointed out was the European Super League Now, this was always like a rumor, you know, of all the top clubs in Europe were going to split off and into their own league and play their own games.
This is at least a rumor going back as long as we've been doing podcasts.
Yes.
This is going back, or you know, essentially Cooligans. This is going back to like 2015. So they're still talking about this, but now there's like emails, there's paperwork.
Yeah, now all the rumors were, we got the receipts. Oh, you were talking about this. Like, so it seems very much like what's been going on is that all the big clubs, the Manchester Cities, Manchester United, Arsenals.
I'll read it out. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Manchester United, Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal, PSG, Juventus, and AC Milan. Those are the ones that are guaranteed to stay. They can never lose and be dropped, right? So it's almost like there's your single entity right there. And then here's six teams, five teams are invited.
John Garber is the commissioner of the Super League. That's his next stop.
We're going to talk about him in a second, though, because here's the five teams that were invited as special guests. And what that means is like, yo, you kind of good, so you could come in, but yo, you start fucking up, you out, right? Yeah. It's Inter, Roma, Atletico, Dortmund, and Marseille.
And the Colorado Rapids.
yeah. Guess who's going to win it all? Colorado. Top of the... you know, let me tell you something. As soon as this popped up in my head, I'm like... We're probably only 20 years. If this happens in 2021, by 2041, I can see a world where Club America, Atlanta United, and Toronto FC, if things stay the way they are, could be invited to something like this. I totally, and Boca Juniors and River and Peñarol. And, you know, I can see that.
It's just, it's not even a European Super League. It's just like the world. Super League.
World Super League minus China is what it's going to be called. Here's one thing that pissed me off. If you're looking at all the names of these teams, how is Glasgow Celtic not a part of this? I get that they're not as big as the other teams, but they're huge. They draw massive fan bases. The fan base travels, and they're ready to spend more money. They want to be bigger, but they don't need to spend more in order to win the Scottish Premier League. At this point, they should just allow Celtic and Rangers into the Premier League and just make the Premier League one big unified league as opposed to just England. And those Scottish teams maybe get a little bit more money so they can start developing more players and get a little bit higher in the ranks, but it allows Celtic and Rangers a chance at the Premier League because you can't just play each other.
Yeah, but I don't personally want to have this conversation because I, you know, I'm not a fan of this idea to begin with. So it is whether it's inevitable or not. I lean towards this will make the sport. This will dilute the sport, and I don't want to see. These same teams playing each other all the time. The reason a Clásico is exciting is because it only happens two times a year. The same thing with the Manchester Derby. Like these games and seeing these international teams playing against each other, it's the reason it's more exciting is because of how rare it is, not because I just want to see it all the time. And
I don't agree with that. I think, you know, the one thing I think people don't really give credit to about soccer is that, especially in Europe, it changes all the time. Something like this was bound to happen. You know what I mean? I get your points. Like, well, if it happens every week, it's not going to be as special. You're right. But that doesn't mean that there's not an opportunity for people to see it. And what one of the things they're talking about is this gets them away from UEFA so they can make decisions on their own, kind of like they wanted to do in La Liga and play a game in the U.S. There's no reason why these games have to happen at one of either one of their parks. If it's, let's say, Manchester United versus Roma, that doesn't have to happen at Old Trafford or I forget the name of Roma Stadium right now.
Yeah, but nothing.
It could happen. It could happen at, like, you know, where the Chicago Bears play, Soldier Field. It could happen there.
Nothing has to happen. No, there's no rule. There's nothing that says this is how it's supposed to be. Obviously, things can change. I'm not... you know, oblivious to that. It's just as a fan of the sport, that's where That's where I side. And a lot of people feel that way. Some people...
I don't disagree with you. But, you know, one thing you have to understand is that things change. And I don't know that this is... I can't imagine that something like this, if they've been talking about it for 2 years and it keeps getting closer and closer and materializes more and more and more, you can't just will it not to happen. Something like this will happen, even if it's just a replacement for the Champions League. Even if they say, like, fine, we'll stay in our own domestic leagues, but... when it comes to Champions League, we're going to have our own Super League, and we're guaranteed to be in it, and the rest of y'all have to play in to get in.
So let's think about why this is happening at all, right? Why are these clubs uniting to kind of try to break away from UEFA and do their own thing?
Because they want to spend oil money.
Well, okay, so that's maybe these financial fair play rules come into it, where maybe whoever's leading it, maybe if it's PSG and Man City, and they're the ones that are like that originally sent these emails and said, like, all right, look, you're here, just spitballing, tossing out these ideas. Hey, Arsenal, would you be interested in leaving Premier League and us doing our own thing, right? It's almost like LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball created that other league so that kids that wouldn't, you know, they could play. They wouldn't have to go to college, and they can make some money and stuff like that. So it's essentially, this is the LeVar Ball strategy of soccer. So,
and he never lost.
And he never lost. So, but clearly there's going to be problems. Even though you know, people want change and maybe want this Super League, the UEFA doesn't seem to be a big fan of it. Gianni Infantino did come out and say that technically the clubs are not tied to their league, right? Like they play in the league and the league gives them, organizes everything, but they don't have to. It's almost like if Manchester United didn't want to show up, what could the FA really do? So that's sort of how I see this, where like a bunch of clubs are planning this like this coup, and they're gonna break off and just start their own thing, which is the leagues don't own the stadiums, they don't handle their tickets, or there's almost like no real connection between the league and the club outside of, hey, this is when you play this day on this, you know, on any given week or whatever. You know what I mean?
And this is why people say that, you know, leagues in the U.S. are much more socialist in nature, just by theory, not politically, because they're all right, we're going to control everything. We share everything, and you can't leave even if you lose. But in Europe, or especially in the Premier League, it's almost this agreement that, yeah, we'll take part in your structure, but we're our own independent and we could do whatever we want. And if your rules get out of hand, we no longer have to abide. That's what happened in the early 90s when they broke off from the top flight division, which was being, I think, the top division. I forget what it was called in England. And they created the Premier League so that they can negotiate a better TV deal and a better TV contract. And some of the major teams from the top division broke off and created a new top division. Something like this isn't, and look how well the Premier League has worked out. They're making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
People all over the world are bigger fans of soccer. I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, we want old school soccer back, and you know, they don't like modern football. Yeah, I get it. But if you look at it on a whole, the game of soccer is much healthier today than it was in the early 90s.
Without a doubt. But the only issue is, and the threat that Gianni Infantino, FIFA president, made, said that, and this seems to be his only real like strategy, because I think legally there isn't much he can do, right, to prevent this from happening. But he said that what he can't control is that he could ban players, any players that play in the Super League, he will ban them from the World Cup, which is FIFA. That's a very much a FIFA tournament. They control that. So that's a pretty bold threat to make. I don't know if it's enough to stop this from happening, but from a player's perspective and like a player's union perspective, I could see how if these European Super League talks kind of move forward, well, the players are definitely going to be like, well, I don't want to miss out on my World Cup eligibility, so I may not want to go forward with this. So the leagues, the clubs can break off from their leagues, but if they ain't got no players, or if they're missing some of their best players in the world, I don't think this happened.
And that's not true because they're going to call that bluff immediately because how the World Cup can't happen without the superstars. No, I mean, I get that countries are still going to root for each other, but you're not going to get the TV money. You're just not. People want to see the big names. You're going to get the regular fans of soccer. But if you want all those additional fringe fans that you normally don't get, which is what makes, you know, the World Cup as successful as it is financially and commercially, you need the big names. Look what happened in the U.S., especially in places like the U.S. Look what happened when some of the big teams got knocked out early. Everyone was scared. And the way Fox kind of sold it, they sold it on only those big names. Well, when they got knocked out, they had to all of a sudden make Mbappe a big name and try to sell him. Yeah, and yeah. Pogba, because look, they're still here. Dog, you're not going to get Neymar to leave one of those major teams, whoever he goes to illegally next, because he's afraid he's not going to play in the World Cup. That's not going to happen. They're going to crumble. UEFA can't, or FIFA can't all of a sudden say, like, all right, we don't want Neymar in the World Cup. That's impossible. We don't want Messi in the World Cup. Are you out of your mind? You can't make that. That's a bluff.
All right, we'll see. I mean, somebody's going to have to, buckle. Somebody will fold. I mean, this is a weird situation where the clubs have a lot of power here, and it isn't one of these things that FIFA can just dismiss. It's real so strange because it's like we're hearing about the corruption amongst the clubs. And some of the shady stuff that they can do, and then it's like a corrupt organization trying to negotiate with another corrupt organization, and it's just like they just have their guns both drawn to each other. It's that Office episode where they're all pointing the finger guns at each other. It's like who's gonna make a move? I don't know exactly what's gonna happen, but it's just that seeing this idea come like to fruition, and then now people saying like, oh, 2021 is the start date. I'm like, yo, that'll be here before you know. I mean, we're gonna need some answers as to what's gonna happen, because it sounds like they are kind of already laying the groundwork to have a new league in 2 years.
Oh yeah, they're trying to make it happen, and really at the end of the day is they're gonna have to figure out a way, and I think the answer is revenue share. I think what Germany did is really, really smart. If you all of a sudden say, fine, look, we're not going to stop Real Madrid and we're not going to stop Barcelona. And what's happening in La Liga is even worse because they control their own TV money. So everyone else isn't getting a cut of that Real Madrid or Barcelona TV money. They're keeping all the money to themselves, and which is fair. They're independent clubs, but they should be able to. There should be a structure like Germany did, which is turn their entire country into a player development pool. And if you were to do that, if you were to say, fine, we're going to get rid of financial fair play, but if you spend X amount of money, part of your TV money and part of your other money has to now go to the other teams in your league or to this pool of money that we're going to split amongst, I don't know, teams that are struggling. I don't know. They'll figure it out. But a revenue share structure is what should be happening to say, like, all right, you want to go blow a bunch of money? Don't cook the books. If you want to spend more money than you're making, well, you're going to have to give some of that to everyone else and let those teams use that money to develop their own players and try to compete. And then maybe you'll have more stories like a Leicester City or teams that are doing pretty good and seem to be getting better, like your Evertons and like your Manchester Uniteds.
Those Cinderella stories of Manchester United, those are always great. I don't know what's gonna happen, but at least the Cooligans broke it down. So hopefully
that's it.
Hopefully people understand a little bit more because you go for your soccer expertise from two stand-up comedians and we've never let you down even once. So, all right. So that's it. That's the end of this episode. Thank you again for listening. I'm appreciative of everyone here. Thank you again to our Gully Squad members for helping make this episode happen. Make sure you go to soccercooligans.com, join the Gully Squad. There's again, ton of options for you if you just want to help support the show, if you want to just ask us some questions, you just want to be a part of the Gully Squad Facebook group that's lit as hell, you want to play us in FIFA, anything, man. A lot of people have sent us a lot of fun suggestions on things they would like to see us do. So, you know, I know we got one that I wanted to point out from the homie, Nick Leishman. Nick, who invited us to the CONCACAF Championship
The CCL game. Yeah. The
CCL game. We hung out with him and his family. Great dude. And he suggested that we do some an episode, not necessarily a podcast, but something where he says Christian reviews food, like finds does like a food review of some kind, and Alexis has to do a food review of like gluten-free and healthy options. So
clearly he's kicked out of Gully Squad. Sorry, Mr. Leishman.
Okay. All right, we found the first violation that can get you kicked out of the Gully Squad.
That is very anti-Gully, making me eat healthy food. And also, where is Christian going to find good food? He has no idea how to do it.
Okay, I'm going to look through dumpsters out in the back of restaurants. I don't know where I'm going with any of this stuff. So that's like a fun suggestion. So hopefully, you know, maybe we can make something like that happen. Maybe I'll bring in some healthy food on the next episode that Alexis can try out.
Don't you dare.
And then we can end our friendship and end the Cooligans as we know it. So
Cooligans is splintered off. I get Cool, you get Iggins.
Okay, it's going to be a civil war in that Gully Squad Facebook group. What side are you going to join? You want to be Cool or you want to be an Iggin?
Are you an absorbente or are you a sorbeto? Find out.
All right. Team Sorbeto. Hashtag Team Sorbeto. So, all right, so that's it, guys. Thank you again for listening. We appreciate it. Sorry this episode came out a little later, but you know how it is. The Seattle Sounders and the Portland Timbers decided to play their game up until 4 in the morning, and it was tough on a lot of us East Coasters. So, yeah, anything you want to add, Alexis? Any shows you have coming up? Anything you want to talk about?
I'm actually going to be doing a show upstate on November 17th. I know that's a week away, but if anybody wants more information, hit us up. Hit us up on Twitter. It's going to be near Binghamton, upstate New York. So I don't know if we have any listeners up there, but I think there's only a few tickets left. I'm opening for Paul Verzey, who just did Madison Square Garden as part of New York Comedy Festival and has a now record-breaking special out on Comedy Central. The clips that they put out online have received more views than anything else that they've put out in the past 3 years. So, check that out. If you want to see me open for them, great. We'll probably be smoking cigars after. Hit us up.
Yeah, Paul Verzey, absolutely hilarious comic. And, check out his special. It's on Comedy Central. So make sure to check that out. I'm not performing at Madison Square Garden anytime soon, but we're getting there. I have a show this Sunday, November 11th, in Bushwick, Brooklyn, called Bushwick Bears. You can just go to you can go to christianpolanco.com if you want to see my schedule. Follow me on Twitter at chrispolanco. Follow Alexis at notalexis and do all that stuff. I'm almost at 3,000 followers. I think I'm 50 away. So somebody,
I'm excited about? Cooligans almost has as many followers as me.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I'm really happy. I actually want Cooligans to have more followers than I do.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I want that too. I care less if you have zero followers. Well,
thanks.
Can those
you too, Christian.
Can all those couple thousand go head over to Soccer Cooligans? That'd be a lot better. All right.
Oh,
guys,
yeah.
Guys are the absolute best. Thanks again for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!